Before I forget how much of a fucking idiot I am for forgetting about the sponsors of these podcasts, because I always forget to mention them, or I just mention them in the middle of the podcast or near the end like a dipshit, I might as well get over with. So, starting with the first one, that would be Spotify for Podcasters. Now, Spotify for Podcasters is for anybody eager to create their own podcast. And it's very simple, really. All you got to do is just sign up on the link down below to the Spotify for Podcasters app, or just simply go to my Anchor link, which ironically was the name of Spotify for Podcasters before it became Spotify for Podcasters. And the thing that makes it very simple is that if you want to create a podcast, all you got to do is just record yourself and then publish it on the Spotify for Podcasters app. And within a matter of hours or minutes, depending on the time or how good your internet is, your podcast episode will be distributed across multiple platforms. Whether you're talking about Apple, Lisbon, Curiocaster, Spotify, of course, and even Podfreeze. And that includes also the second sponsor of this podcast, that being Fountain. Now, what makes Fountain special? Well, in addition to being a podcasting app, which is always great, it's what's known as a Podcasting 2.0 app, which is basically the value for value model, which Adam Curry, the podfather, described as a way for Bitcoiners to support each other. Basically, you're creating valuable content. But aside from the technical side, I'll just give the simple version. By listening to your favorite podcasters on Fountain, you're pretty much able to earn Bitcoin while you're listening to your favorite podcasters. It's no joke. You're basically making money while entertaining yourself, which I think is a fucking incredible deal. Now, there's a daily limit to how much Bitcoin you can acquire while listening to the podcast on a daily basis. But hey, if you can make a routine out of it, you're pretty much fighting against inflation and earning hard money as opposed to the fiat bullshit we're all subjected to in this fiat regime that we've been closed off to for so very, very long. Sorry if I'm not a good salesman. I was never really good at being a whore. Not to say that I don't appreciate having these sponsors. I just don't like pretending to be somebody else. I mean, I guess this is my quasi-attempt at being humorous. But that being said, in addition to the sponsors for this podcast, I've left down some Bitcoin buying links that allow you to get some referral rewards. And personally, the newest one is that of Swan Bitcoin. Now, what separates Swan from all the other Bitcoin buying apps is that once you buy your Bitcoin, it's locked up in cold storage for a few days, and then you can just withdraw it and put it in a hardware wallet, which is an even greater form of cold storage. My recommendation, if you're buying on other exchanges and you're able to leave your Bitcoin there, withdraw it, or just stick to something more secure like Swan Bitcoin or Strike, which is another link I've left down below. But fuck Coinbase, fuck Binance, which is, from what I've heard recently, is already fucked. Anyway, enough of me selling myself. Let's talk about Honey Boy, which stars Shia LaBeouf, Noah Loop, and Lucas Hedges, who is such a great actor. And he's just proven over and over again that he's just a rising star. And from the first time I saw him in Moonrise Kingdom as that asshole ginger that was fucking with the other kids in the movie, I don't remember the names of the other two actors, which probably makes me feel ashamed, especially given my love for Wes Anderson. Now, when it comes to my feelings towards Shia LaBeouf, I always had mixed feelings about him as an actor, and I'll admit that bias came from the public persona that was created about him. And what I love about Honey Boy, aside from him being the writer of the script and drawing from his own personal experiences as a child actor, you get the sense that, well, obviously, you get the sense that he has a deep intuition into the idea or the many ideas that are not discussed about child actors, or at least very few people are aware of. I mean, look, when we think of a child actor, we think of people like Corey Haim, Fred Savage. I think Fred Savage was the kid from The Goonies, I'm not sure. Or Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone, which would have made me look like an idiot if I had gotten that wrong. And we often look to the psychological damage or just the bizarre nature of the weird lifestyle they're subjected to, because, I mean, it's only becoming more and more apparent of how fucked up Hollywood is and how it potentially has some pedophilic elements. But not even if going to that extreme, just the bizarre nature of the idea of being of you, a child being raised in an environment where your public persona is something that is formed by others as opposed to yourself. And obviously, for those of you who are familiar with Shia LaBeouf, we can go back to, I mean, I'm sure plenty of this generation grew up with his Transformers movies without really knowing about his work with Even Stevens, which was two decades ago. And for those who are unfamiliar with Even Stevens, it was a Disney Channel sitcom, which I don't know if it could be made today because it was over the top, but kind of extreme and very entertaining, but in a meta way. I don't know, almost like it was self-aware of some of the absurdities, or at least it embraced its absurdity in a way where it was just fully committed to just being funny for the sake of being funny. It was just a family sitcom that was entertaining. No fucking laugh track. And it actually called out its own absurdity in a way where it made itself funny. And I think it was fantastic. I don't know how I would feel about it watching today. I mean, the last time I was exposed to Even Stevens was the conclusion of the series, which was the Even Stevens movie, which I'll admit was very entertaining to watch and kind of fucked up in many ways. That being said, Honey Boy does explore the fucked up elements of being a child actor, especially with the idea that it involves a lot of the more family-oriented trauma that comes with being a child actor, because when you look at that lifestyle, you can obviously assume it's not a conventional modern lifestyle for a child, and the fact that they're potentially making, they're in the entertainment industry where they're making potentially a lot more money than their own parents. In a way, they're acting like as a form of support for them. And I think that Honey Boy really tackles it, because Shia LaBeouf obviously said that he based a lot of it on his own life, his relationship with his own father. Now, I haven't done much research on Shia LaBeouf's father. I don't know what sorts of issues he has that he took from his own personal experiences and incorporated them into the film. I know that he said, I remember once in an interview, he mentioned that his parents were hippies. And, yeah, you automatically think, oh, they must be cool and awesome. Yeah, but also, and maybe there's some truth to that, but like any parent, they have their flaws because they're human beings. And Honey Boy perfectly illustrates that. And Shia LaBeouf stars as the father of the character that Lucas Hedges eventually plays, who is a child actor turned, not a person who grew up as a child actor and became a movie star, but unfortunately a lot of the baggage that he suffered from as a child actor came with him and resulted in him having PTSD, which leaves him in rehab. And obviously, for those of you familiar with Shia LaBeouf's own reputation being a child actor, obviously rubbed off him and came with a lot of the baggage that he took to his life in Hollywood and the many career choices he made. And he made a lot of good career choices. He was in a lot of good movies outside of just the Transformers films, which I don't know how I feel about them now, because when you look at Michael Bay and just the pure absurdity of his overblown action aesthetic, I mean, you can't say it's trash or it's terrible. I mean, if you're looking at it objectively, yeah, but if you look at it from a more meta angle of just the popcorn bonanza aspect that is pretty much the moniker for Hollywood box office, he's a genius. And strangely enough, I like the fact that even Nicholas Winding Refn, the director of films like Drive, Only God Forgives, which is underrated as fuck, Valhalla Rising, another underrated film of his, Bronson, said that in his mind he looks at Michael Bay as an auteur. And I think that's a good way of looking at it, because when you think about it, what is an auteur? It's a filmmaker with their own style. And I don't know if I don't want to say that Michael Bay is some genius who is doing this on purpose, because he is very self-aware about what he's doing, as opposed to the fact that his films could never in a million years be compared to the cinematic or intellectual sophistication of someone like Kurosawa or Bergman. But going back to Shia LaBeouf, most people will assume that he's just, all you can attach to him are films like the Transformers films. Yet Shia LaBeouf has done a lot of other independent projects that are totally divorced from the kind of tone that the Transformers franchise carries. Whether you're talking about some bizarre acid trip like Charlie Countryman, Honey Boy, obviously, which is a deeply emotional and personal drama, and obviously it was probably a form of self-reflection and self-investigation into his own issues. There's the work of Lars von Trier, who is his own auteur and kind of a destroyer of cinema in the sense that he makes everything that's beautiful. He looks at something within cinema and absolutely destroys it for the sake of not just shock. I don't think it's for shock value so much as the means of deconstruction, of personally examining some things within that aesthetic they were never looked at. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with Lars von Trier, you should check out his Depression trilogy, which was my introduction into him. Although it's the only films I've ever seen, so I should probably watch more of his older works. I still haven't seen The House That Jack Built because I heard that was a deeply disturbing film that made people vomit, and I'm not going to fucking lie. As much as great and as brilliant and as daring as I believe as the two Nymphomaniac volumes are, which Shia LaBeouf started, I fucking fainted in the first one. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck it was. Straight, ironically, I didn't faint in the second one, and that is the more extreme one. That's a mystery I'm going to have to re-examine. But Shia LaBeouf was great in those films. He was also, and what was bizarre was the way he was advertising for them, because there was actually a moment in the advertisement for, I don't know, while he was promoting the second one with the actress Stacey Martin, who plays the character Joe in Nymphomaniac Volume 1, the younger version. She was laughing at this joke he told this press reporter about him. They asked him, what did you mean when you say I'm not famous anymore? And I don't know what he said, but he said something very perplexing, quizzical, and enigmatic, almost like as if he was presenting a riddle to the reporter asking him questions. Again, back then I would have had a much more negative view of Shia LaBeouf, like he was just a sensationalist looking for attention. I mean, he's got a very dynamic voice. He's done the Just Do It video, which has become a meme for self-motivation, but also parody. Still, that gives an image of Shia LaBeouf in the sense that it was very difficult for me to truly have a definitive view outside of just neutral indifference, because I'm not the kind of person that wants to judge who a person is. I mean, I won't lie that at one point I did kind of think he was foolish, but my perception of him changed over time, and it wasn't because of a film like Honey Boy. It was actually of an interview he did on John Bernthal's podcast, and he did star with Bernthal in the movie Fury, which I haven't seen. Granted, I did hear that over the course of the making of the film, Shia LaBeouf had mentioned that he had converted to Christianity, and that's what probably drew a negative, kind of made me form a negative opinion of him, but not because I had a problem with him becoming religious, but I just felt he had taken that Hollywood actor route, which is kind of stereotypical that a lot of them do, where they find God and then they promote it in a way of rehabilitating their image. And I'm not going to judge or accuse anybody. I just feel that that's kind of been a gimmick for so long that you can't help but roll your eyes. But I obviously misjudged him. And after listening to that interview he did with John Bernthal about his own psychological struggles, his own sense of identity, the debate he had with himself about his identity and what he had done over the course of his success as a Hollywood actor, informing his identity, that just left him in a state that was in a psychological state where he was so broken and unhinged that he just didn't feel he was worth his own existence. I don't know if he attempted something like suicide, but he certainly had the shame of a person who felt he didn't deserve to be loved, and I gotta give him props for expressing that kind of vulnerability, because very few people do that. And I mean, it made me form a lot of respect for him, and after seeing Honey Boy, it did help me better learn that this was a guy who had his own bullshit and he wanted to communicate it to an audience, but not for the sake of attention or sympathy, but more so as a way of showing that the glamour that is associated with being an actor in Hollywood or being a star, it's just bullshit. It's not really who you are. And Honey Boy showcases that with the character that Lucas Hedges plays, because he plays the son of the character Shia LaBeouf plays, who was based off his father. Oh, and I don't know if his father was a rodeo clown. It wouldn't surprise me, because I can imagine someone who was characterized as a hippie doing that kind of job of entertainment. And obviously Shia LaBeouf plays it, a guy who has a lot of bullshit baggage, but he's also a rodeo clown. And he's also very mentally unstable and conflicted. And you see that in his relationship with his son, but you also see that he genuinely loves him. So, I don't want to make this review as though Shia LaBeouf is writing a story to demonize his father so much as telling a story that was very personal to him, of illustrating the complicated relationship he had with his father and what it did to him in many ways, especially while growing up as a child actor. But he also, it's clear that he did it to showcase that despite those complications, you can see that he still loves his father and accepts him for who he is. And I do think that's very beautiful, because I do feel that the relationship between a son and a father is very incremental in the child's development. And it and if it's very strained to start with, it can have very negative side effects. And you see that with the character of Lucas Hedges, who Otis. Because Otis is played by Lucas Hedges and Noah Loop, I think that's his name, the younger version. But again, the relationship between a father and son is something that is very important. And if it starts off on it has a rocky and complicated start, it's going to develop in a very chaotic fashion. And Honey Boy illustrates that. But it also illustrates a sense of reconciliation as a way of finding peace within yourself. And obviously, Lucas Hedges' character does that with his father, played by Shia LaBeouf. It's done with dreamlike image, and so it's hard for me to tell whether Shia LaBeouf's character died in the 10 years that the film takes place and skips between. But the fact, he probably did, so maybe that's why it was portrayed as a dream. But again, Honey Boy is a great film, because not only does it depict the life of a child actor in a very authentic way, but it also captures a lot of the deeper themes which are associated with the sense of identity that I think the entertainment industry within Hollywood often puts on actors. I mean, it's like that saying I once said about never meet your heroes, because you'll be disappointed. And there is some truth to that, especially in a world like Hollywood, where an image is constantly associated with these figures who we don't really know personally, and who, like anybody else, are just people. They have their own bullshit. I mean, there are a lot of actors I really like, but I don't know them. Acting as if they are the person you see on that talk show, where they joke around and play with the host as if they're best friends and it wasn't scripted for the entertainment of more simple-minded audiences, is really, really absurd and dumb. Because, and it insults their identity in many ways, because it turns them into a product for the entertainment of people. Yeah, you could argue that's what they are in the work that they do, but it kind of objectifies the identity, the deeper identity the audience assumes they have, and simplifies it to a way where they think that they're this person who is just as happy as the creepy smile that someone like Richard Branson gives. I mean, now that is not me accusing all of them of being fake or bullshitters or just hypocrites, because at the end of the day, most of those interviews that those actors give on those talk shows are a means of advertising the work that they and a lot of other people collaborated together had to work their asses off. Because obviously the movie industry isn't an easy industry to break into. Sometimes you gotta lie, you gotta fucking do things that are unconventional just to stand out. I mean, Werner Herzog stole a fucking camera from film school, and he never returned it. And I don't blame him. The director of Mad Max, George Miller. I can't believe I forgot his, almost forgot his name. George Miller and his crew for the first film, which was built on a low budget, borrowed, in a sense, without asking. They borrowed a lot of the props that they used for Mad Max without asking, and they returned them in time. But the fact that they borrowed it without asking shows you that they were that passionate about completing a project that they put a lot of hard work into, but they realized their limits and that they had to cross some limits in order to see if fully realized, as opposed to playing by rules that probably would have stifled the progress of the work they were crafting. And that's that kind of industry where to truly last, you got to stand out in whatever way you can. Sometimes that can be both positive and negative. It all just depends on the person, the timing, and the environment. And that's why I had such a very mixed view of Shia LaBeouf, given the bizarre behavior he was exhibiting. But I'm not one to judge, given that I don't know his childhood. I don't know what kind of issues he went through, and clearly they were much deeper than I realized. And I have a lot of respect for him being willing to be vulnerable on John Bernthal's podcast, because you could tell, I'll even attach a link to it, because I think anybody who struggles with their own psychological issues, their own sense of self-doubt, their own traumas, should listen to that, because it's not a guy saying, feel sorry for me. It isn't some Oprah Winfrey bullshit that makes you want to roll your fucking eyes like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's a guy talking to another guy who, most people, when they think of John Bernthal, they think of a macho. I think any idiot, if they got a first impression of John Bernthal, they would probably mischaracterize him as a macho, toxic male, especially his voice. But I look at John Bernthal and I respect him. I think he's a great dude, based on his, just like how he didn't judge Shia LaBeouf. He just spoke with him, and he talked about that in his own interview on Joe Rogan's podcast. I mean, he looks like the kind of guy that you could have a conversation with and he wouldn't judge you. I'm hoping I'm right, because he seems like a very nice man. And I like that interview because it was just two guys talking and have a conversation. And I get that same feeling every time I watch a Joe Rogan episode, because there have been times where people on Joe Rogan's podcast have broken down and he breaks down with them. And that's so fucking incredible, because he's not perfect. He's not trying to be perfect like some other celebrity would in those moments. He's just saying, it's okay, you know? It's all right. No. He's letting them know, don't break down. You know, it's okay. If you feel like shit, I'm here with you. And I think that's just what the world needs. People like that, they're willing to express their own vulnerability, but not in a way where they're afraid of being judged, or the person talking to them is going to judge or even take some moral stance, because that can just go wrong in so many ways. And I'm glad that that wasn't the case with the way Shia LaBeouf wrote this story, because it was obviously a very personal story. It explores something I think a lot of people who have a very warped or binary view of actors or child actors, so they can better understand not just the pressures, but just all the baggage that comes with this lifestyle of a child adopting a lifestyle where it seems like their identity is not only held hostage, but someone or a group of people or a mass of people decide long before they're able to truly have a sense of certainty about it, that eventually they start believing that that is their identity, as opposed to the identity that they were never really able to explore, given how fast they, I guess you could say it was a fast forward button on their way of growing up. That's just how I look at it, especially after watching Honey Boy. Anyway, these are my thoughts on Honey Boy, as well as my overall respect for Shia LaBeouf and his willingness to tell such a personal story, because it seems like it came from the heart. No, it did come from the heart. And I do hope he continues to write stuff like that, because I think after watching that interview of John Bernthal, he really does want to pursue things he's passionate about, as opposed to making the kind of money when he was more of a, he was more in line with the image of a Hollywood star. And also, I'll attach the link down below to that podcast episode by John Bernthal. Hope you all enjoy it, and till next time.